You may have noticed over the past week or two, when the weather forecast calls for clear skies, it doesn't entirely appear to be clear. There's a haze, and the sunsets have looked different, with more and different colors. These changes can be attributed to the wildfires that are devastating the west coast of our country. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. The climate crisis is a national and global issue, and having fires thousands of miles away impact the air here in the Midwest, well, that's just one example. On the other end of my phone line is Dr. Richard Rood, and Dr. Rood is a professor of climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan, and it's nice to talk with you again.
Thank you for asking me.
Every year there are a number of wildfires in California and other parts of the West Coast. Have this year's West Coast fire struck you as something different?
Yes, the fires are extraordinary, and they're not just on the West Coast. I'm in Colorado, and we've been having fires here, including one that became the largest in Colorado's history. And you would probably hear more about it if it weren't for the fact that the fires in California and Oregon in particular are huge, and there are more large fires in California than there have ever been. The fires in Oregon are burning in places that they haven't normally burned before, meaning more in the wet areas of the mountains. So these fires are extraordinary, and they come on top of extraordinary fires in the last 5 years. So we are definitely seeing this emergence of huge fire seasons that are longer and in different parts of the forest than we've seen before.
We know that most wildfires are caused by humans, but scientists like yourself say there is that direct connection to climate change. But President Trump says the folks in the West just need to clean the forest floor a little better and things will cool down as well. Why does the science prove the severity and spread of these fires are in part attributable to what's happening with the climate?
What I like to say about the climate and climate change and the fires is that the warming temperatures lead to more drying of the vegetation, more drying of the land, and therefore become an amplifier of any fires that get started. Some of the fires are natural. Some of them come from lightning, and in particular in California this year, there was a huge dry lightning storm that initiated a lot of fires. But what climate is doing, it is making the conditions for fires to be much more prone to happen and to have much more explosive development when they get started. The idea of that you can clean it up by picking up fallen trees and raking the forest floor is just unrealistic.
We have watched here from the Midwest all of that smoke go up into the air from the western states, and it does get caught in the jet stream, and it's made its way across the continent. As I mentioned, we've seen it here in southeast Michigan. Does that have an environmental impact when that kind of smoke travels that kind of distance?
It does have an environmental impact in the sense that the smoke that's making it to Michigan, and of course famously now to Washington, D.C., where everybody starts to take notice, is relatively high in the atmosphere, and it does not have the same impacts on air quality that, say, the smoke in Washington, Oregon has, which is down in the boundary layer and in the surface, and people are directly breathing it. It does, of course, have the environmental impact of changing the solar radiation in the sense of what does the sun look like. You get these very red balls of the sun, especially in the evening, and
the temperatures go down.
The temperatures are going to go down a little bit. Some of it will make it into the boundary layer and have potential air quality impacts on people who are sensitive. But compared to what's going on in California and Oregon, to get to Michigan, it has to get relatively high in the atmosphere, and it comes back down quite slowly. So the direct air quality impacts are generally relatively small once you get away from the first few hundred miles of the fire region.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Dr. Richard Rood. He's a climate and space and engineering professor at the University of Michigan. Now, wildfires and drought, not the only issues we're experiencing related to climate change. We have more severe weather events than before, hurricanes, massive rainfalls that cause flooding, heat waves, and of course, we're seeing historical ice melts as well. Dr. Rood, are we adapting quickly enough to both the short and longer-term issues these events bring?
No, we're not. The way I try to teach this in my class, which is to try to teach students how to think about climate change and to be ready, is that this emergence of all of this change, what some people are calling the climate crisis, and I actually try to avoid the climate crisis because we're just at the beginning of this, is telling us that we do have to start adapting. We are at the beginning of a time where the climate is going to be changing very fast.
Faster than we thought.
In many ways, faster than we thought. And from a public perception, there's no doubt that it's faster than we thought because the message had been that this is something that's slow, it's going to evolve, and we're going to be able to deal with it. But it's been clear for the last decade, especially with what's happening with the ice sheets and the permafrost, that the melting and the accumulation of heat is having impacts that are much greater than, I will say, that the public expected and even than many scientists expected. What we're faced with is that if we're going to limit this change, we have to start the reduction of carbon dioxide. However, at the same time, reducing carbon dioxide is not going to keep these things from emerging. So we need to think of new strategies of fire policy, new strategies of land management, because we are going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to deal with these flooding problems.
I do want to follow further down that path on how we deal with that and how we set policy to deal with that. This is 89.1 WEMU, and our Issues of the Environment conversation with U of M professor Dr. Richard Rood continues. NPR recently reported a controversial researcher who rejects climate science was hired by the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration for a senior position. It's a move many perceive as suggesting the Trump administration is asserting growing influence over the study of rising temperatures. David Ligatis has a long history of questioning fundamental climate science and has even suggested that burning fossil fuels would create a more habitable planet for humans. Now, I would love to limit our conversation to science and fact, but science is becoming increasingly political. How concerned are you about that?
I am very concerned about the overt attack on science and our scientific institutions. This has been very damaging to CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and in the message and the information that's being provided for, you know, the COVID outbreak. There's been a problem within EPA. It's been a problem within the Department of Interior. And seeing the potential attack here on NOAA and climate science within NOAA is very disturbing because aside from the message that is not science-based, that is political and is essentially either myth or sometimes disinformation, meaning that there's some intent there, I think imperils the ability of a society with a lot of people and a lot of consumption. It limits our ability to manage those crises and to develop resilience and the strategies that we will need in order to be able to do very well. We have to get out of a reactive state and anticipate these changes that are coming and to imperil the ability of the government to provide honest information in that is just devastating.
Given the increase in misinformation and propaganda, a cable television media landscape that continues to move more towards opinion for commerce formatting and a decline of newspapers around the country, are we past the time when the majority of the national and global population can put their trust and faith in scientific research and conclusions?
I don't think we're past the time that the public can put their faith in scientific research and conclusions. I think that the A large portion of the public actually values science, though I do know that some of the recent polling shows that the political aspects of the argument have been eroding some of the public's faith in science. But in general, I think that the public, you know, if you were to divide the public into different pieces of, you know, I think you would still find that a large percentage of the public has high faith in science. And I think that's promising. So I don't think we're past that time. The problem to me is how do we turn that into rational, organized responses to that scientific information. And
well, when you society. Come up with an answer to that, let's talk again.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you so much for the time and sharing the information today. I do appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome.
That is Dr. Richard Rood. Dr. Rood is a professor of climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan and our guest on Issues of the Environment. This is 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.